But here in Revelation chapter 3, the church in Sardis, okay, the church in Sardis is getting a rebuking from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the thought here today is the church of the living dead. And look here at that thought, the church of the living dead. Revelation chapter number 3, and I'll begin reading in just a couple verses here, verses 1 through 4. Revelation chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which hath not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." You're going to look again, like I said, at the church of the living dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are grateful again to be in your house here this afternoon. And Lord, I do pray now that you use me here today. I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit. Pray, Lord, you give me your power, your boldness, Lord, to speak the truths of your word here today, Lord. Pray, Lord, that your Spirit will have full rule and reign here today in the hearts of those here today. Lord, I pray you'll speak to those here today over the internet, Lord. And you just make a change in us, Lord, today. Don't let us leave here the same way, Lord, that we came in. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, Sardis here was the capital of the ancient kingdom of Lydia, which is located about 30 miles south of Thyatira. And Sardis was one of the seven cities within the Roman province of Asia Minor, which is today known as Turkey. And the city there is set on a ridge that protruded out of the side of a mountain, and it was 1,500 feet straight up that ridge and straight up that mountain. And so they felt pretty safe there. They thought it was an impregnable fortress there. They thought that they were safe from the enemies. But however, when the city outgrew that ridge, they developed a second development there at the base of that mountain. And as history tells it, that gold was lying around in that river, right? So they struck it rich with gold that flowed through that city. And so for these reasons, the city was known for its wealth, for gold, and for being an impregnable city. And so because of this, kind of like America, you get to think about a rich nation, right? Because they were a rich people, they became arrogant, they became proud, they became overconfident, and they believed that nobody could ever scale those large hills there and wage war against them. But by the time John wrote this book here, the Revelation, the city's flourishing wealth had passed, and much of its glory had faded as well, and the people had become worldly, they had become content, and they had become lethargic, and basically they were living on their past reputation. And so the church at Sardis knew exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about when he says they have a name that they lived, but they were dead. And even though Sardis was known as the impregnable city, two times in its history it was conquered. Two times. Each time it was because the people were arrogant and prideful and they did not do their jobs in protecting it. Again, as history says, one of the attacks there was under Cyrus of Persia, where one of the guards of Sardis was seen to drop his helmet through a steep wall, and the enemy overlooked and saw him crawl through the crevices there and retrieve his helmet and then crawl back into the safety of his shelter there. But that city was taken that night in that same way when a band of soldiers came up that same crevice there. And then under one of the other subsequent rulers to Alexander the Great, the incident was remembered, and again that city was taken again. So two times they thought their city could not be touched, and two times it was overtaken. But now here today we're going to look here at the church of the living dead. The church that was alive on the outside, but that was dead on the inside. Okay? The Church of the Living Dead. So number one I want you to see here is the rebuke. All right, the rebuke is from Jesus. If you look here in verses 1 and 2, he says, "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." Verse 2, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Right? So there is no commendation here. Okay? There is no good job, none whatsoever to this church in Sardis. The Lord Jesus Christ is rebuking the church. Now we say, what is the problem? What is wrong here? What is going on? This church is a dying church. It's a lifeless church. They had a name. Oh, it was a great name, wasn't it? They had a name. But in reality, it was the Church of the Living Dead. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes them for working for God without walking for God. Right? We want to get that. Right? They became so involved with doing things, they left God out of everything. In Romans 8:1, the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You see, they were working for God without having a walk for God. Walking with the Lord is not just for the pastor. All right, you get that. Walking with the Lord is not just for the pastor of the church. Yes, I must have a walk with the Lord, but so do you. So must you. You must have a walk with the Lord. And it starts with the basics. Reading your Bible. Do you wake up in the morning and read your Bible? Right? Or do you rush off to work without reading your Bible and go the whole day without reading your Bible? When you do that, you know what happens? You have no power. You have no power. You have no power. Right? What about prayer? Do you get up and go out the door without reading your Bible and without praying? No power. You have no power in life, okay? What about your church attendance? Being faithful to church? Hey, all these things we know, those are the ABCs. They're the basics. They're the fundamentals. But you got to have a walk with the Lord, and that's where it starts. It starts by hearing the Word of God preached, by reading your Bible, by prayer, all those things. There are many churches there, even in our area, that are vibrant churches. They look alive, but I'm telling you, they're spiritually dead. And get this, when Jesus says your church is dead, you better believe it, your church is dead. Right? He says it is dead. Now this church at Sardis, they were not lacking in works. They were not a lazy church. They had all sorts of programs. They had the ministries, they had the activities. All the other church looked at this church as being alive. They were well attended. Okay? They were well liked, they were prosperous, they were busy. Right? They had good fellowship. They had all the ministries for every different age group you can think of. They were the popular church in town. Everybody knew that church. Now, if they would have been in our day, they would have had a lot of eloquence in the pulpit. There would have been a lot of fancy speaking and a fancy lingo. Hey, there would have been a lot of eloquence in the pew as well. But this is only, I want to remind you, this is only what man sees. Man only sees what's on the outside. God sees everything. He sees everything. Proverbs 15, verse 3, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." You know, we often forget that. We think we can hide things from God. And, well, this is my secret sin nobody knows about, not even God. Right? Nobody else is going to know about this. No, God knows. In 1 Samuel 16:7, the Bible says, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." You see, the Lord knows your heart. We know the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But you know, that heart is what the Lord sees. That heart is our motives. That heart is our intentions. That heart shows our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That heart is what is wicked, right? We fill our heart with wickedness of the world. We fill that heart with sin. And we think that, no, that's just for me, that God's not going to see it. But God sees everything, okay? And He knows that this church, hey, this church was growing in members, but its members were not growing in Jesus Christ. A familiar story, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 23, a familiar situation here. In Matthew chapter 23, look here in verses 27 and 28. Talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, right? The hypocrites. Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are all like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Hey, they look the part. Right? They're out there praying morning, noon, and night. But he says that, hey, you're full of dead men's bones. "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Hey, look, you're looking the part. You're acting the part. But what does the heart say? And I mentioned this before, it's easy to say, well, I'm a member of an independent Baptist church. I read my King James Bible every day. I pray every day. I'm faithful to church every day, right? We do all those things, and it's easy to look good on the outside. Hey, we dress right, we dress good, we dress for the Lord. We do all these things, and then we forget about our heart. But the heart is desperately wicked. We forget about the sin in our life. Right? And so we go all through the week without reading our Bible, without praying, no church, no fellowship. We go all through our work filling our lives with the internet and the social media and the news and the sports and the March Madness and all those things. And then we come in today on a Sunday and we think, that preacher better preach something good today because he better, you know, I want to hear something good. You know? You need to be preparing your hearts, walking with the Lord, having a walk, okay? Our hearts are filled with all these things of the world. You know, the Holy Spirit God cannot fill us with His Holy Spirit when we're filled with all of the things of the world. D.L. Moody used to say, man needs to pray that God would empty him of all those things before God could fill him. But we need an emptying of all of the world and all of the things of the world so that God could fill us with His Spirit, and God can use us, right? So we can have a walk with the Lord. You're not going to have a walk with the Lord if you're filled with the world. I'll tell you that right now. It's not going to happen. You see, they are filled with all this sin and hypocrisy. They have no walk with the Lord. They are the church of the living God. So what's my point? My point is we need to quit being so concerned with what man thinks. We need to start thinking about what God thinks. We need to be concerned with what God says, what God thinks, God's perspective on things. How does my life correlate to God's Word? Am I in alignment? If I say that I'm saved, I'm born again, does my life show it? Does my life reflect it? Are there things in my life that I'm hiding from God thinking He's not going to know those sins? Right? The church of the living dead, God's perspective is what matters. But this church here, oh, what a reputation they had. What a reputation they had. But let me tell you, Jesus was not in the midst of the church. He was not in the midst of the church. And we know that this morning I mentioned about death. And when a person dies, what happens? That spirit leaves, right? That spirit leaves that person. And that's what had happened here at this church. The spirit had left. In 1 Samuel 4:21, the Bible says, "And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel." Hey, you got a dead church, you might as well just put a sign on the door that says Ichabod. Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has departed. Hey, the glory of the Lord, He's not here anymore. When a Christian goes to sleep, when a church goes to sleep on the Lord's not going to hang around in that place. Put a sign up. Ichabod. The church had not only gone to sleep, but they had drifted off into death. Ecclesiastes 9:5 says the dead know not anything. Right? The dead are unaware of what's going on around us. They have no clue as what is going on in this world. It's been said that in some churches, a person would have to backslide to be in fellowship. And there's a story about a man who went to one of these churches like this here. He was a saved man. He had the Lord Jesus Christ in him. And even in Sardis, there were some churches that were still faithful. Okay, but this man, he went to a church one day. He was a visitor at that church. And he sat down and he began to read the Bible there, I guess, because he shouted out amen. Right? It wasn't anything the preacher was saying. Remember, this was a dead church. He shouts out amen and everybody turns around and looks at him. What's wrong with this guy, right? A couple minutes later, he shouts, "Praise the Lord!" And he says, amen again. By that time, the usher comes up to him, telling him, hey, you need to settle down. You need to simmer down. All right. He says, I don't know what got into me, but, you know, I got religion. I got religion. And the usher said, well, you may have, but you didn't get it here. All right. And so, hey, point is this. It's good to say amen. It's good to say praise the Lord. It lets me know you're alive still. All right. It lets me know you're alive. Hey, turn back over to Revelation chapter 3 and look at verse number 2. Revelation 3, here in verse 2, he says, be watchful. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. I want you to get this, okay? A dead church can have revival, okay? A dead church doesn't have to totally die. A dying church doesn't have to die. It can have revival. You don't have to die. Jesus tells the church here to be watchful. Be watchful. Strengthen the things that remain. But we got to pay attention. We got to be watchful. If a church thinks it's fine, it's never going to seek revival. If we as a church think everything is hunky-dory and we're good just coming in and sitting in our pews and never doing anything else except soaking in the Word, right? If we're good with that, if we're good with never going out into the world and being a witness and preaching the gospel, if we're good with all those things, you know, a church that's fine with those things is never going to seek revival in the same way that a sinner who has never sinned is never going to seek a Savior. Okay? It's not going to happen. So the wake-up call for us here today is to, if we're going to have victory in our life, we need to be awake. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. I think too many Christians are sleeping. We need to be awake and be alert. He says in 1 Peter 5:8, you know the verse, be sober. He says, be sober. But let me, oh, well, I am sober. I don't drink alcohol. Well, there's more things he's talking about there, right? He's not just talking about alcohol. He's talking about be sober, have a straight mind, have a full mind, have a conscious mind of what's going on, meaning not to fill your mind with other junk outside of the Word of God. Don't fill your mind so much of the internet, with the social media, with bad music, with rock music, with country music, with CCM music, whatever music, right? Don't fill your mind with that, because when your mind is full with that, you can't be vigilant. He says, be sober, be vigilant, right? We fill all of our lives with the news stations, right? We want to get the 6 a.m. news, the 8 a.m. news, the 10 a.m. all day long. We want to fill our souls up with that news and what's going on in the world. Hey, it's great to be informed, yes. But we got to watch how much we fill our minds up with it, because those are the thoughts that we're going to have, and those are the things that are going to control our mind, and we won't be able to be sober or vigilant. And he tells us that. He warns us, be sober, be vigilant. Why is that? Because your adversary, the devil, he wants to destroy you. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And who is he going to devour? Who does that lion always devour? The weak one. The weak one that has no walk with the Lord. That weak one that was not in the Word of God today. That weak one that was not praying. That weak one that's not been in church. The weak one. Right? That weak one. That's who he's going to destroy, to devour. He tells us we need to be sober and watch. In 1 Peter 4:7, he says, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Do you understand the significance of prayer? Do you understand the power of prayer? Right, the power of prayer. God says, come boldly unto the throne of grace, make your request known. But how many of us can faithfully say we seek the Lord in prayer every day? Right, when something comes upon us, somebody asks us to pray, whatever the case might be, but how many of us are faithful in praying? Right, we all could probably do better, I would think. I would think we all could do better. But he says we need to be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Every part of our life, we need to be sober. Every part of our life, we need to be watching. Why? Because there is an adversary in the world. There is a devil in this world that wants to destroy you, that wants you to be out of church, that says to you today, you know, it is raining out. It'd probably be a whole lot comfortable to watch this on TV, wouldn't it? You can stay in your pajamas. You don't have to worry about fellowshipping with anybody. It'd be a whole lot more easy on you to just do it that way. That's what the devil's going to say. But we need to watch. We need to be sober. We need to pray. Every thought bring down to the imagination to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, If you turn over there, let's look at that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look there at verse number 5. In 2 Corinthians 10, in verse 5, the Bible says, "They're casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." And get this, "and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought. So I want you to think about that for a minute. What is our thought life like? If what we're putting in the eye gates is all of the world, then that's the kind of thoughts that we're going to have, be having. If our thought life, if what we're putting into our eye gates is coming from the Scriptures, if we're meditating on God's Word day and night, if we're putting those things in, that's the kind of thoughts we're going to have. We're going to have spiritual thoughts, not worldly thoughts. But he says there to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You say we want revival in our life. We say we want revival in our church, but are we awake? How many of us are awake? Are we getting busy strengthening the things that remain? Or are we just going through the motions? Are we just going through the motions of worshiping the Lord? Or are we just going through the motions of reading our Bible? Or are we really seeking the Lord to show me truth? Romans 13:11, the Bible says, "Now it is high time to awake out of sleep." It's high time. Now is the time. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may not come. High time. Right now, we got to awake. We want revival? Wake up. Hear the voice of Jesus. He says we need to wake up. He says we need to repent. We need to serve the Lord with all of our heart. We need to strengthen what remains. We need to watch. We need to watch under prayer. Hey, you know what? Watching and strengthening the church is not just my job. Newsflash, hate to bust it to you. It's not just my job, okay? Watching and strengthening the church is everybody's job. All right? It'd be good to have deacons that are strengthening the church. It'd be good to have that have church people that are strengthening the church. It'd be good to have ladies that are strengthening the church. Hey, just show some signs of life. Right? We don't want to be like the dead church. Right? We want to be a live church. But let me get this. A church that is partially dead does not have to die if we take heed to the rebuke, and secondly, we remember. So we got to take heed to the rebuke, and then we got to remember there. Look back there in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. In verse 3 of our text, he says there, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast." Hold fast. Time to hold fast to the faith. Don't leave the faith. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't lose focus. Well, you say, "Well, I'm older now. I'm not as funky as I used to be." Well, then I remind you that Moses was 80 years old when God called him into the ministry to wander around in the hot, dirty desert for 40 years. Okay? You say, "I'm too old." Well, be a blessing to somebody. Just teach them something. Teach them to sew. Teach them to cook. Teach them how to submit to their husband. Teach them how to be faithful. Just those things, right? Keep your eyes up. Don't lose hope. Don't say, "Oh, I remember how I used to be." Well, I can't do that. You can do something. If you're still here, God wants you to do something. He says, "Remember and hold fast." In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly." Right? We've gone over this verse a lot of times. But the disciples, they got saved, they got born again, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Okay, they didn't quit. They received the word and they wanted more. They wanted to grow and they kept going. What about you? Do you remember the days when you served the Lord out of a glad heart, out of an appreciative heart? Do you remember whenever you wanted more than anything to do God's will for your life? And do you remember when you first got saved and the preacher would say something, or you'd be reading your Bible and you'd be like, "Hey, did you see this? I can't believe this was in the Bible. Did you see? Let me show you something," right? You had a fervency about you. You were eager. You were like excited about it. Do you remember those days? Do you remember what it was like to walk in the power of God? Right? He tells us here to remember. Remember. Memory, we know, can be a bad thing. Memory can be a bad thing if our memories cause us to live in the past, but memory, if it causes us to wake up, can serve a great purpose. We can remember in an effort to wake up. Hey, I need to remember, but I need to wake up. Hey, what do you remember about this church? What do you remember about the past of this church? What do you remember concerning yourself with this church? Do you remember yourself serving in the church? Do you remember yourself singing in the church? Soul winning in the church? But you don't do those things anymore? Well, what's the difference? What's changed? Right? The difference was just a choice. You chose not to. Remember and hold fast. Don't quit. Don't quit. Get back in the game. Don't quit. He says, remember and hold fast. Remember. Stop going through the motions. Right? What happens when we go through the motions? Those dead traditions. You become the church of the living dead. All right? Revival comes when you stop going through the motions and you start focusing on the Word of God. You start getting in the Word of God and you remember and you give up those things that are contrary to the Word of God. If we want to please the Lord and do His will, we got to get in His Word and we got to be filled with the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, he says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what's the point? Hold fast. Remember. Don't quit. Remember, but don't quit. In Hebrews 2:1, he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. All right. Remember the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Right. All those things that you've been taught throughout the years here at the church and all the things you've been trained and learned and taught throughout your life as far as the Word of God. If you don't remember, lest at any time we should let them slip. We forget about them. Right? If they're not constantly put before you, if you're not constantly reading them, you forget about them, don't you? You know John Newton? You know who he was? He wrote that song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. You know that one, right? But you know that he was a wretch. You know, he was a slave trader, and he lived out on the wild seas, and he got so low that at one point he became the slave of a slave. And one day his story is told, he was out on the ship there in the middle of that sea, and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got saved, he got born again, called in the ministry. And John Newton, it's been said that he had above his mantle there in his study this scripture. I want you to turn to it. Deuteronomy 15:15. Deuteronomy 15:15, this is supposedly one of the scriptures he had there in his study room there. In Deuteronomy 15:15, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 15:15, the Bible says here, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Hey, remember what you were? Hey, remember you were a bondman. You were a slave to sin. That's what I was. What about you? Right, we all were. You say, well, I was saved at 5. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But guess what? Your sin would have still caused you to go to hell if you'd not been born again. You're just as much a sinner as me or anybody else. But he says here, remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. And get this. And the Lord thy God redeemed thee. The Lord saved me. He did that. Nothing that I did, but the Lord saved me. So it's just a reminder. Reminder of who you were. Reminder of what God saved you from. Now, he was a wretch of a wretch. But remember, he used that verse. He remembered what God saved him out of. And if you've been born again, you can remember what God saved you out of. And number three, you can repent. He said, remember, and then he said here, repent, back in verse number 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 3. He said, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. Repent. Now here we have the church of the living dead. When the things of God are allowed to die, the only thing that we can do is to repent. To turn from our ways that are obviously not working, and repent. Repentance must be taken in order for there to be a restoration. A cleansing, a change. Something's got to happen. I got to repent. You see, a lot of churches closed during COVID, didn't they? A lot of churches closed. They never reopened. And I guess that would be considered a good thing because they were obviously dead churches anyway. But now here's the point. We have a lot of churches today that are literally going through the motions. Jesus is not in it. Oh, they look good. They got a crowd. They dim the lights. They bring in the smoke. Get the rock bands going, right? Seems to be the people like it. But Jesus is not in the midst of those things. We have people that in a whole lot of churches just going through the motions. We have people thinking it's okay not to assemble. People not faithful to church. And you know what they think? They think live stream is church. But live stream is not church. Okay? You understand that? Live stream is not church. A church does what? Assembles. Right? So you have to assemble to be a church. And right? And so a dead church doesn't assemble. No assembling, no church. Okay? It's not enough here, he says, just to remember. He says, you got to repent. You got to agree with God about sin. You got to turn from Him. And that's what repentance is. It's a change in mind that results in a change of actions. Some people think that God is obliged or God is okay to accept everything and anything that I do. He's okay if I live in sin, but that's not the case. God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. God is the Creator. We are the creation. He calls the shots, okay? I hate to bust your bubble again, but He does. He does not overlook our sin. Every single one of our sins has consequences. And when there's sin in our life, there must be a repentance so that there can be a restoration and a revival. But the Lord, again, tells them not just to remember, but to repent as well. If you realize here, in Philippians 1:27, he says, stand fast in the Spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Right? There is only one gospel. There are churches that teach there are many gospels. There are churches that teach there are many ways, but there's only one gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved, in order to get to heaven. But Jesus paid it all on that cross of Calvary, and you receive Him. You receive that free gift of salvation. He'll take you to heaven when you die. But there's got to be a repentance in that as well. And I do have one more thing for you. Number four here, there's a remnant. I want you to see here the remnant. Here back in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4, we'll see here as we get ready here. Verse number 4 says, Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which has not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now that word Sardis, it actually means those who have escaped or those who come out. Basically, it means a remnant. A remnant, right? A remnant is this. It is a small, faithful group of God's people that remain true to Him no matter what. They stuck by God no matter what happened. The persecution came, they stuck by God. They were a remnant. And now God says, as bad as things are here in Sardis, there's still hope. You understand? There's still hope. That wretched sinner out there, there's still hope. Right? There's still hope. There's still hope for this church. There are still those who had not defiled themselves in this church. Every church needs a remnant. You get that? Gilead Baptist Church, we need a remnant. Are we a remnant? By the grace of God, we need to be a remnant. We just go when He goes, and we go where He goes, and we just serve the Lord no matter what. Why don't we just be part of the remnant? You say, well, how do I do this? Well, let me tell you. Number one, you remain separated from the world. I can be a remnant by remaining separate from the world. In James 1:27, he says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world basically means the same thing as 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. We're to be separate from the world. That salvation, we got the Holy Spirit of God living in us. That Holy Spirit of God indwelled us. And there should be a battle. If you're trying to go out in the world and live in the world, there should be a battle between the Holy Spirit and your flesh. Right? It should be taking place. But if you remain separated from the world, that's one reason. Number two, you can live in holiness. You can live a holy life separated unto God. In 1 Peter 1:15, and 16, the Bible says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." That's the command. That's not a suggestion. That is the command that we're to live holy. Well, how do I know how to live holy? You got to get in the Word. You got to get in the Bible, right? You got to read it. And then when it says what to do, you got to obey it. Obedience. Okay? And the third thing here is just be faithful. Hey, we want to be a part of the remnant. Just be faithful. Just be faithful, right? I know some of you talk about being faithful. Just be faithful. Right? Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." That living sacrifice, that means a continuous thing. A continuous thing. I'm daily, constantly putting my body on the altar. Here, Lord, what do you want me to do? Here, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm to live holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Right? You get that. That word reasonable service, hey, it's just something that I should do because of what the Lord Jesus did for me. How He loved me so much to die for me. My reasonable service should be just to be living a holy life. Just to serve Him. Just to put myself on the altar. Lord, what do you want me to do? And then in verse 2, he says kind of the same thing I've been saying. "And be not conformed to this world." Separate. Right? Being separate from the world. Not living in the sin of the world. Not living in holiness separated from the world. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's it, you know. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Great verses. Ponder on those. Be faithful to Jesus. We just read a couple of those verses. And we can remember of how I'm to live a holy life. How I'm to be separated unto God. Noah and his family were a remnant, weren't they? Everybody else on this earth was killed in that flood except Noah and his family. Elijah thought he was the only one. But we know that God had preserved 7,000 that had not bowed the knee. The early church, right? We read the book of Acts. The early church faced great persecutions, right? Many of them put to death. And you look through the history, many, many people standing for the Word of God put to death all down the line. But you know what they did? They remained faithful. They remained faithful, and many of them, well, they remained faithful even up to the dying day. Even though they may have been tortured or burned at the stake or whatever the case might be, they remained faithful even unto death. So my prayer for Gilead Baptist Church is that we are faithful. Is that the Lord would find us faithful. Are you part of the faithful remnant? Do you want to be part of a faithful remnant? Are we awake? Are you awake? Are you spiritually dead? Are you alive on the outside, but dead on the inside? Only God knows. Right? Only God knows. But let me just end with this. It is time that we strengthen what remains. All right? We need to strengthen what remains. Let's pray.